Hilchos Reitzeach, Ushmiras Nefesh, Laws of Homicide and Laws for the Preservation of Life, Chapter 12. This chapter contains 15 halachas dealing with further requirements for the preservation of life, for avoidance of safety hazards and hazards to the public safety or health or life. Halacha Aleph, Behema Chaya Oyoif, Shenoshkon Hanochosh, an animal or a bird, a behema or a chaya or a bird, which was bitten by a snake, Vechayoitzi Boy, or some other poisonous crawling thing, Oisha Ochlu Samham Memes Ha'odam, or if such an animal or bird ate a poisonous food which is capable of poisoning and killing human beings, then after it ate such a food, before the food was fully digested and changed chemically within its body, while the poison may still present a hazard, that is, it's forbidden to eat the meat of such behema chaya or bird, because eating this presents a danger to life. Therefore, behema chaya ba'oib, a behema or a chaya or a bird which were found with their feet cut off, even though this does not prohibit them as a treifa, as we learned, so long as the foot is cut off above the tzemes hagidin, above the place where there's a collection of nerve fibers there, and below the place of the knee, as long as it's cut off in such a place, it does not become prohibited as treifa. Nevertheless, arei elu asurim mishum sakona, they remain forbidden because they present a danger to life. Shema echod mizeich leofer noshchom, because we're afraid that how did their legs come off? Their feet came off because they were bitten there by some crawling creature that is poisonous. Archei botku, and this is forbidden unless we inspect them and examine them to determine that this is not the case. Ketzad boikon, how do we examine them to determine this? Tzoy loy sambataner, we have to roast the meat in an oven. Im loy nischatech haboser veloy nishtano, if upon roasting the meat does not fall apart and does not change in appearance from normal meat, mishar hatzlifa, it does not appear different from any other roasted meat, harei ilu matorim, then we assume that there is no venom in it and it's permitted. Haloche beis, v'chein nikurei te'enim v'avonim v'hakishuim v'hadluim v'avatichim v'amalafafoynis, so also if there were puncture holes in te'enim, in figs, vanovim, or in grapes, vakishuin, or in cucumbers, kishuin is squashes, vahadiluin, or in pumpkins, vavatichin, or melons, vamalafafoinis, or cucumbers, afilu hoyu v'deilim beyoyser, even if these fruits were very large, so that you might think that if the puncture wound was made by some poisonous serpent, we'll cut away that part of the fruit and eat the fruit on the other side where the poison could not have possibly penetrated to. Nevertheless, it's forbidden. Ben plushim, ben mechuborim, regardless of whether we find these fruits or vegetables with a puncture hole in them already separated from the ground, or they're still growing in the ground. Or even if they were already harvested and they were inside some container, so long as they have not completely dried out, there is still some moisture in them, and we find bite marks in it, also it's forbidden, because we are afraid that a snake or some other poisonous crawling creature has bitten it. And even if we see that there is a bird there or a mouse sitting there on the fruit and is pecking at it and gnawing at this fruit, and so we see that this is what's making the holes, harei lulis asurim, it's nevertheless forbidden, because since it had previously stood uncovered, we are afraid that maybe a poisonous serpent bit it first, and shema bimkoy nekev nikev, and then the bird or the mouse came along and further punctured it in a place where it had previously already been punctured. Halacha gimel te'ena o'enav shenitol ha'oiket shalohem, a fig or a grape where the stem had been removed from them, and in the place where the stem is removed, there's a little hole there, and liquid oozes out. These are nevertheless not considered liquid, and they are not prohibited if they stand uncovered. Therefore, a person is permitted to eat figs or grapes at night, and he does not have to worry about it, that he did not inspect it to see if there were puncture holes. A fig that had been punctured and then it dried out, vinasa groigeris, and it turned into a dried out fig, utmara nekura sheyavsha, or a date that had been punctured and had dried out, shteihem mutaris, both of these become permitted. Apparently, this is so because a venom that had been if a venom had been deposited in it, it would change the interior of the fruit in such a way that it could not dry out properly. A person is forbidden to put mois, copper coins, or dinrim, or silver coins into his mouth, because they may be unhealthy, because there may be dried out saliva upon them that came from mukeshkin, people who had certain contagious skin diseases, or people who had tziras, or they may have sweat on them. A person may have handled it and perspiration may have gotten onto the coin and dried it out, and all sweat of a human being is poisonous, except the sweat of the face. So also a person is forbidden to put the palm of his hand under his armpit, because we're afraid that with his hand he had touched a mitzoira, or he had touched some poisonous substance, and he is not aware of it, because the hands are constantly touching things and handling things, and the person who does it, it's subconscious, the person who's handling it doesn't even realize this. And then when the person's hands that have picked up the poison are then inserted under his armpit, the armpit contains many pores in it, and we're afraid that the poison will be absorbed. And it's forbidden to place some cooked food, under a dish of cooked food under the bed while he's sitting there on the bed, and even though he's in the midst of eating his meal, and therefore the food that he put under there was put under there only for a short while until he gets up to that course, and then he'll take it out and he'll eat it. Nevertheless, it's forbidden, shamayipul baydava hamazik, because while it's under there, it's possible that something that causes a hazard, it will fall in there, and since he's busy eating, he didn't notice it. Similarly, it's forbidden to stick a knife into an esrig, or into a large radish, to keep the esrig there, to use this as a handle in which he puts away his knife, because a person handling this may not realize that there's a knife there, and he'll fall upon the point of the knife, and he'll die. So also it's forbidden for a person to walk under a wall that is bending over, because it might collapse, or on a bridge that is caving in, or to enter into remains of a house that has been destroyed, or any other such things, other places where there is danger that something may collapse on them. It's forbidden to walk by such a place. So also it's forbidden for a Jew to be secluded in a hidden place together with goyim, because goyim are always suspected of being murderers, nor should he accompany them on a road. He should not go with them in their company on a road. because since they are going far away in between cities, there may not be any passers-by there, and he'll end up being alone with them. Poga goy baderech, if he was already walking on the road and he met up with a goy on the same road, machzira liyaminoi. So now he has no choice, he has to continue going with him. He should walk always with the goy on his right side, because it's easier to defend himself against an attack by this goy if the goy is on his right. Hayu oilim b'mayla, if they were going uphill, or yordim b'yerida, or they were walking downhill, lo yeh Yisrael lemata b'goy lemayla, they should not walk with the Jew in the lower position and the goy in the upper position. That is, going uphill, the Jew should not be behind, and going downhill, the Jew should not be in front. Eli Yisrael lemayla b'goy lemata, they should always walk with the Jew above and the goy below. That is, going uphill, the Jew should be in front, going downhill, the Jew should be behind. Shemayipel olav lahamisoy, because if the Jew is below and the goy above, we are afraid that the goy will jump upon him to kill him, and he will not be able to protect himself. Al yeshoyach lefonov, a Jew may not bend over in front of a goy, shemayorot esgulgolte, because we're afraid that he'll kick him in the head and smash his skull. Halochiches, im shaloi lo'onatahoylech, if he met a goy and the goy asked him, how far are you going on this road? Where are you going to? Yarchiv lo yesaderach, he should not tell him his true destination. He should give him a destination. Apparently he was afraid not to answer at all. He has to give some answer. He should not tell the truth, but he shall give him a destination further than where he's actually going. The same way that Yankiv lied to Esav and gave him a further destination. As Yankiv said to Esav, Adasher Ovoy El Adoni Seira, it's a pasuk in Vayishlach, he said, you go ahead of me, and I'll come behind until I come to your house in Seir. And Yankiv, of course, never went as far as Seir, he only went as far as Sukkos, and he will not go to Seir until Mashiach comes, and Yankiv will take over all of Esav's territory. So therefore he should tell him a further place, because if the goy knows that he has only a short distance to go and he plans on attacking him, he'll attack him all the sooner. But if the goy thinks they're going much further, the goy will wait for the best opportunity to attack him, and meanwhile the Jew has a chance to reach his true destination and turn aside, and the goy will not have done anything to him. Halochetes, also likach refua min hagoy, it's forbidden to purchase medicines from a goy, elim kenis yoshu mimenu sheyichya, unless it's a patient who is in such a bad condition that they have no hope left that he will survive anyway, then we can take a chance on a medicine that we purchase from a goy. Also, the hisrapis minhu apikoiris, nor is it permitted to take any medication from an apikoiris, from a Jew who does not believe in Jewish tradition and law. And this is forbidden even if it's a patient for whom there is no hope of survival left. You still may not do it, Shema Yimshichu Achrav, because we are afraid that the people will learn from the ways of the Apikoris and become Apikorsim. Muta likach refua min hagoy lebehema, it's permitted to purchase medicine from a goy to use for animals. Oy lemaka shabaguf mibachutz, or to purchase some salve, some medicine that will be used only for external use. Kigoin melugma uratia, such as some bandage that contains some dry medication, some liquid medication, or some ointment medication. If, however, it were some wound that poses a danger to life, then it's forbidden in any case to take the medication from a goy or from an apikoyus. What is called a wound that causes danger? That is, any wound that is forbidden, that is permitted to heal on Shabbos, and it's permitted to desecrate the Shabbos to heal such a wound because of the danger, such a wound is forbidden to take the medicine from a goy. Halacha yud umuter lishar l'roife goy, however, it's permitted to ask advice from a physician who was a goy. The yoimaloi, and the goy may prescribe for him some ploimni yofelecha, he may take a prescription from a goy who says this or that a medication will do you good, v'kach v'kach tase, or you should do this or that. But he should not actually purchase the medication from him, but he may take the prescription, because we are always afraid here that the goy plots to kill or to poison a Jew. And if we purchase the medication from him, perhaps he mixed poison in it. However, in the case of advice, a physician, a goy, will not give even to a Jew the wrong advice, because if the word gets out that the physician gave such and such advice, and someone took his advice and died from it, then the physician will get a bad name and he'll lose all his customers. So a physician will not do such a thing. But a pharmacist may sell poison to a goy, to a Jew, and therefore you may not buy it from him. It's forbidden to take a haircut from a non-Jewish barber if it's in a secluded and private place. Because since the barber is standing behind him with a scissor or with a razor, we're afraid he may kill him. If the Jew was an important personage, mutar, then it's permitted, because the barber is afraid to do anything, because there'll be a major investigation here if the Jew suddenly is found dead with a wound in him in the barber's chair. If it's an important Jew, the barber is afraid to kill him. If the Jew was not some important person, but he pretended to the goy that he is an important personage, so that the goy will be afraid of him and not kill him, and he sees that he has convinced the goy that he is some important person, then it's permitted to take a haircut from him. It's forbidden to sell to goyim any weapons of war. And if they own weapons, we are forbidden to sharpen them from them. It's forbidden to sell to them knives or chains, iron chains that go around the neck, or iron chains that are put around the feet. Shall barzel, if they are made out of iron, shall barzel hindua, or even small chains of Indian iron, because all of these things can be smelted down and made into weapons. Veloy dubim, it's forbidden to sell them bears, varoyas, or lions, nor may we sell to goyim anything that can pose a hazard to the public. We may sell them Trisim, these are shields, because these are not used for offense, these are used only to defend themselves. Just as the Chachamim have forbidden us to sell all these things to Goyim, so also it's forbidden to sell it to a Jew, if the Jew does not obey these laws, and he will sell them to a Goy. However, in all of these cases, it is permitted to sell weaponry to the army of that country, to the local army, because they will not use this to endanger the public. They are defending the whole country, and in fact they are defending the Jews who live in the country also, and therefore it's permitted for a contractor to sell such weapons to the army. Anything which we have stated here that it's forbidden to sell to a goy, it's also forbidden to sell it to a Jew who is a gangster, because it ends up that he will use these to pursue his career as a gangster, as a robber, and therefore we are lending aid and support to sinners, and we are the cause of their sinning. And so also anyone who puts a stumbling block in front of a blind person, that is, one who misleads or who lends support to someone who is blind concerning a certain matter, or he gave him some advice which is not the correct advice, or he lends support to people who are committing sins, because they are like blind people, since they are sinners and do not see the true path, and he has misled them along the wrong path, even though the fact that they do not see the true path is not because they are physically blind, but because they themselves are already misled through the desires of their heart to commit sins, nevertheless, we may not aid and abet their sinning. The one who has supported these sinners has transgressed a negative mitzvah. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'lifnei iver lo yisite michshel, before a blind person, you shall not put any stumbling block. Habo litl mimcha eitzah, this includes the case where someone comes to take advice from you, tein lo eitzah ha-higenes lo, you must give him the correct advice, you may not mislead him. Halocha tezvov, ve'osor lahasi eitzah toivo legoi. And conversely, it's forbidden to give good advice to a goy, or le'eved rasha, or to a slave, even though the slave is partly Jewish, he's required to fulfill some of the mitzvahs. Nevertheless, if the slave was a rasha, if he was a wicked person, it's forbidden to give him good advice. And even to give him advice, not that will bring about his physical success, but to give him good spiritual advice, to advise a goy or a wicked slave to do a mitzvah is also forbidden. If he is still wicked, also it's forbidden to tell him this. Daniel was not put to the test. Why was Daniel punished and put to the test of being thrown into the den of the lions? This was a punishment for no other reason except Elohal Shehisiyah. He advised Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to give tzedakah. And since he advised him to do a mitzvah, he was later punished. Shenemar, where do we learn that he gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar? A pasuk in Daniel, Lohin Malka, Milki Yishparaloch. O king, may my advice find favor before you. And he advised him to give tzedakah and was punished.